Marion Earls, MD, FAAP, is a developmental and behavioral pediatrician in Greensboro, North Carolina, and she is a past member of the AAP Committee on Psychological Aspects of Child and Family Health. Dr. Earls, how common is postpartum depression?
Well, in the general population, it's considered to occur up to 12% of women.
Is that full-blown postpartum depression? What about the baby blues or milder forms?
So actually, if you break that down, baby blues can happen in as many as 50 to 80% of women. That usually appears within a few days after birth, but it's transient. Moms may be tearful, a little bit sad, maybe a bit anxious, but as I said, that's a transient occurrence, and usually those moms do well with reassurance and support. So in terms of true depression, minor or major depression, that's the number I gave you, is anywhere from 6% to 12% of women postpartum. But fortunately, the instance of major depression is less. That's only about 6% of women. That peak is about 6 weeks postpartum.
What populations are most at risk?
The risk goes up in folks who have obviously a history of depression prior to pregnancy or during pregnancy. And the risk tends to be higher in women who have low socioeconomic status. In fact, it can be twice as high.
Does it run in families?
Not necessarily, no. Just because your mom might have had postpartum blues doesn't mean that when you're pregnant, you're going to likely have postpartum blues. The more predictive factor would be if the mom had experienced depression previously.
What are the signs that a woman should really seek some help?
The signs that are common to depression: feeling sad, having difficulty with getting over that, having that persist for more than a couple of weeks, being tearful or more anxious, being unhappy, feeling like maybe they're not feeling attached to their infant. Very frequently, moms feel very badly about that. And that's part of the reason that why we really encourage pediatricians to ask moms in a routine way if this is occurring, because moms feel that there must be something wrong about them or they're not a good mother if they're having those feelings.
You mentioned the pediatrician. Where should mom go to start getting help?
There's lots of places they could do that. Certainly, there's an opportunity in their postpartum follow-up with their obstetrician to talk about this. And I know that the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology has recommended for quite some time that obstetricians screen moms for postpartum depression. But, you know, they may have their six-week postpartum visit just before these symptoms might peak. They may not actually feel that that's the opportunity to speak about it. Certainly, when moms are bringing in their infants for their routine pediatric care, you know, at the 1 month and 2 month and 4 month and 6 month visits, those are opportunities for pediatricians to ask that question, and moms should certainly be able to bring up the question to those folks. But even bringing it up to a family member, making sure that they're seeking assistance, there are community resources in many communities for moms who are experiencing that. Sometimes the birth hospital actually has support groups for moms that are postpartum support groups. So there are often community resources available. Asking your pediatrician is a great idea.
In terms of treatment, what's effective? Is it as simple as getting some extra help around the house so the mother can sleep?
It could be. For moms where the depression is mild, having some additional support, having family members aware to help her out, help her get more sleep, have some diversion, can very possibly be what is very helpful in treating the issue. If the depression is more significant, getting moms with a mental health professional who can work with them for a brief period of therapy counseling is something that's highly recommended. Fortunately, many of these moms will not need to have antidepressant medication, although certainly people experiencing major depression may indeed need medication as well. But getting moms referral to an appropriate mental health professional in that situation is the thing to do.
Are antidepressants safe if you're breastfeeding?
There's just been an article just in the last couple of years in Pediatrics that's reviewed all the antidepressants that have studies out there of women who are breastfeeding. And there are indeed several antidepressants that are considered safe to take while breastfeeding.
Are there things that families can do to prepare before the child is born or right after to protect women so maybe they don't experience postpartum depression?
I certainly think having some awareness that this is something that can happen, that there's not something wrong about the mom, and helping people understand what the mom's needs might be ahead of time is very useful. One of the things we've been promoting in my community is this whole concept of the prenatal visit. Now, certainly that can happen in the prenatal visits with the OB, but it could also happen with the time of the prenatal visit with the provider who is going to be the caretaker for the infant when the infant is born. The American Academy of Pediatrics had a statement out just in the last couple of years on the importance of the prenatal visit to do some anticipatory guidance with families and with the mom about what to expect, you know, the child's development, what stress is the family experiencing. While that may not completely prevent the mom from having these feelings, it would certainly allow for her to understand what they are, to ask for assistance right away, and for the family to be supportive.
How does postpartum depression affect children in terms of their language and brain development?
And, you know, that's a big part of the impetus for asking pediatricians to do routine postpartum depression screening. Of course, we are very concerned about the mom and her well-being, but it is also really important for the infant. If the mom is experiencing significant depression and that is prolonged, it could have a major impact on the infant-mom attachment. And we know from the studies in early brain development that we could indeed have an impact on the infant's brain. If it's prolonged and the infant brain has persistent elevated cortisol levels, that has impact in the areas of the brain that affect not only social interaction, but also language development. So there is the potential that untreated, ongoing depression could have a very strong impact on infants' brain development and then later development as well. We already know that young children who grew up in homes where there's significant maternal depression, just depression in general, can have an impact on those kids in terms of their developing symptoms of depression and anxiety, internalizing symptoms as school-age children, and it can impact on their learning. So it makes the mental health of the mom's social-emotional well-being, as well as the dad's, an important issue for pediatricians.
So it sounds like it's important for parents to pay attention to their own mental health.
It's hugely important. As I said, it has a definite impact on the life of the child, even beyond infancy, if parental mental health is not paid attention to. Very often, people live with a lot of stress and don't even recognize that. So again, I think for the providers who take care of those parents and for the pediatric providers who are taking care of the child in the context of the family, it's a good strategy to acknowledge that those things are possible and that we can be a resource for linking folks with appropriate resources if they need them. I have had the privilege of working with practices that have been implementing routine maternal depression screening for some time. The providers who've been doing this have really found it to be very positive for their practice as well as for their moms. I've had several comments where moms have said to the pediatricians that they so appreciate being asked, even moms who did not have depressive symptoms. It was a great strengthener for their longitudinal relationship between the parents and the pediatrician. So routinely asking about this is actually a benefit on both sides.